Morning, church. I'm going to rearrange the furniture real quick. Morning, online campus. Morning, those of you that are new in the room. We got a lot of stuff to do, so we're going to get rolling. Does that work? Okay. So you might have heard the term bucket list, right? You may even have a bucket list. Best I can tell is 2007, this idea of bucket list was kind of coined, and it comes from kicking the bucket, which is to injure, to die, right? To hit that point in your life that you don't have a bucket anymore. And bucket list was the idea that, okay, how can we live, fill this bucket to the full before we die? Which sounds awesome. And in fact, I did a little research, and this is some of the stuff that people fill their bucket list with. You ready? Skydiving. Some of you are like instantly, uh-huh. Others of you are like, nope, not a chance. See the Northern Lights. Okay, saw it. Was it worth it? Okay, there you go. There you go. Travel, and that's like all over. You pick your place, like people are traveling. They want to go see all these places. And the real diehards are like, I got this map and I want to just put all the places I've been on that map, that kind of thing. Swim with dolphins, preferably not sharks. Okay. Ride in a hot air balloon. Might be yours, might not be. Go to the Super Bowl. There's only one Super Bowl I want to go to, and it involves the Steelers. Okay. Other than that. I'm going to pretend like that didn't happen because I don't want to embarrass you in church. Okay? Fall in love. That's a hard one to like make sure it happens before you kick the bucket. Go on a safari. Okay? Get to an ideal weight. Somebody needs to tell them that as you get older, it gets harder. So you probably should put that one in your bucket list when you were younger. You know what I'm saying? And tour wine country. And so there's just different things online. You can have 10,000 different ways. There's one post, 10,000 ways to fill your bucket. And that's all good. That's all good. Other than when we talk about what it looks like to walk with Jesus, when we talk about a life that Jesus intended for us, there's kind of this collision between taking our life and stuffing it full versus taking our bucket and emptying it out and making sure that the bucket is empty by the time we kick the bucket. And it's this kind of upside down thought, if you like. If you've been with us, you know we've been in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, kind of framing up this whole idea around generosity and what it looks like and what it means to have a life that is generous. And maybe just kind of capturing this idea this morning again, that the idea behind this generous life is that we have a generous God who, that's his character and nature. And out of that generous character and nature, there is a generous gospel, generous good news that has moved towards us. In the person of Jesus, in our Savior, we have this, not only are we rescued, but we are given all of this new life. We're given all of this reality that we now live in as people and followers of Jesus. And it would help if I was in 2 Corinthians and not Matthew. And he says this, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. And so there's this idea laid down with generosity very quickly that is built on the fact that God's character and nature, one, he's able to do whatever is needed. He can give you whatever's needed. His hand doesn't run short. And then in the same breath, it's this reality that this God is generous and wants to give. And that shows up in the gospel and is very clear. I also know that some of you are going, but this passage, it's in the middle of a money message that Paul was giving to the church at Corinth. I understand that. We're going to get there next week. But this premise of sowing and reaping is all over Scripture. The idea that you would sow something and reap something in return, it's farmer culture, right? It's taken from this idea around that time that you had stuff, you had a bucket full of stuff, and you chose, was I going to give a little of it? And if you did, then you reap sparingly. And when we talk about money and we read this passage, it's kind of like, okay, I got this, right? So whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Okay, so if I give a little, then I'm only going to get a little. And when it comes to money, I don't know if it's because we're from the West, we tend to think this way about this passage. Okay, if I sow generously, so if I give 10%, God gives 15. That's how that works. If I sow whatever I throw out, if I give 100 bucks, God gives 200. That's just how it works. It's a 2-for-1. And in the monetary sense, we often get in that space. That, oh, this is talking about if I give this, then God will give that. We're going to talk about serving today in the context of this passage. And it's interesting because when you put serving in there, it doesn't quite work the same, does it? Okay, I'll serve this many hours, and that means somebody's going to come serve me double those hours. It doesn't quite work. And something begins to happen. We begin to start to understand it, which will set up a framework for next week. We begin to understand it in a different way when we get out of the context of money and actually put something else in. And this idea of serving, that I would give out of my bucket, I would give on behalf of another person out of this one bucket life. Anne Voskamp, in one of her books, said this about this idea of sacrificial giving. The self is ultimately never really sacrificed in giving, but our real self is ultimately found. In the sacrificial giving of ourselves, we give ourselves back our real selves, the self we were made to be, blessed to blessed, given to givenness, loved to loved. Something we have to capture in this area of serving, in this area of taking this one bucket life and giving it, is that this conversation is built on a platform, if you like. And it's built on the character and nature of God being generous first and foremost. Then it's built on this gospel that we'll talk about towards the end here this morning, and how this gospel is generous towards us, and that we have been given everything. We're a new creation in Christ. And out of that then comes things like we have opportunities that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. We talked about time a couple of weeks ago. We talked about the idea of our words, that your words hold the power of life and death. That what's been given to you in the person of Jesus, in the Holy Spirit taking up residence in you, the fact that now as you walk, live, move, breathe, you now have the Spirit's power to speak through you, you can actually transfer to someone else the gift of life. And that's all been put in your bucket when you met Jesus. And we got to be real clear, because I don't know where you are on the spectrum. Well, in the sense of life, have you stepped into a relationship with Jesus? Have you crossed the finish line of faith? Meaning, have you put your trust that I came to a point where I made a decision, and in that decision it was, God, I can't do this. My sin is too much. I need you to rescue me. I need you to save me, and I need you to put me on new foundation, and I'm trusting you and the cross and the person of Jesus to do that. Because if you've come to the place, whether in the room, whether on the online campus, wherever you're at in your decision-making process, determines the rest of the conversation. Because step one for you today may not to be worried about the serving piece as much as, man, I just need to step into a relationship with Jesus. And if that's you, then please do not leave this building without talking to somebody. It's that important. The reality is, however, that for a lot of us, who call ourselves the family of God, who call ourselves Heights as a body, you have stepped into a relationship, then you have a whole bunch of things that have been given to you. And one of those is around this area of serving. And to understand the benefits that come out. And Voskamp's talking about that when you give, you actually find yourself. Matthew chapter 10 actually talks about that. That Jesus says, when you lose your life, you'll actually find your life. We also have some very, very special people in our family that show up week in, week out, and just pour themselves out for other people. They take this one bucket life and they just are giving it away. I want you to hear in their words some of the things that they would say are benefits of this sowing generously, if you like. Listen to what they're reaping in this video.
I would have to say that the most life-giving thing to me about serving has been just being surrounded by people who truly love me and just have my best interests in mind. That's been super encouraging to see.
What I get out of serving is seeing families get to be reunited together. I help out in the recovery ministry and I get to see people get reunited with their kids, get reunited with their parents, and I get to see lives actually changed. And it gives me pleasure knowing that I was an addict before and I didn't care about anybody at all. And I thought the joys of the world were, you know, take, take, take. But in reality, giving back to the community, helping out people, has been the biggest blessing in my life. It literally changed my whole perspective on life. Like, I don't have to do this. I get to do this, and I absolutely love doing this. And if I could save just one kid from ODing and, you know, letting that parent see their kid actually making it in life, then it's just, it does it for me. And literally, I couldn't ask for anything.
Serving at Heights has been such a blessing to me. I have met so many wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ and have had friendships blossom from that. More importantly than that is that feeling you get when you have the chance to really pour into another person and live out your faith. When you have the privilege of impacting just a small piece of someone else's life, that's the good stuff.
In my experience in coming to the Heights Church and serving, I get a sense of purpose. I get a sense of that I'm doing God's work. It's giving me purpose to my life. I feel like I'm serving more than myself. And it's a special thing and it's making me happy.
The best thing about being on a serving team is watching people leave revived.
Being on a serve team and doing being here for recovery just reminds me to be selfless, to enjoy being able to give back and to do the work that Jesus has asked us to do to follow in His steps. To see the joy and the love that comes from people that you get to help them and you get to be part of their weekly, I guess, upbeat and joy that they get when they come every week.
So good, right? So good. So good. And here's the reality of the body of Christ. That in no way, shape, or form was the idea of what God left on planet Earth, that He called His church, no way, shape, or form was that a group of people that would be paid on staff that would carry out the work of the kingdom. The idea was that God took us, placed us in a body, and then in that body, as individuals, as the family of God, that every single one of us would step up and go, I've got this one bucket life that I've been given by Jesus, and here's how I'm going to in turn sow this outward. We use this term serving, right? What you just heard, you can't even... This whole idea of sowing generously, what was reaped from that? Things like, I was just blessed. Things like, I got to watch somebody else's life change in front of me. So, somebody else saying, I gave this moment to step in to serve. And what came out of it was, I got all these new connections. And 1 Peter chapter 4 picks up on this. I love the context that it begins with. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. So Peter now penning down what's important for us as the church that's left, right? Listen to this. Verse 7, the end of all things is near. There's the context, right? Peter goes, hey, the end of all things is near. AKA, time is short. We get that from the sense of we look at the bucket list and go, oh, I got to do all this before I kick the bucket. But for Peter, he's going, hey, time, the end of all things is near. Be alert, be aware. There are certain things within this time that's left that the church needs to be found doing. And he goes on to say, therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Right? It's this epic passage that moves through, hey, time is near. The end of time is here. And then he goes on to describe what we, the church, should be found doing. Like being hospitable, like loving one another. And then specifically, in verse 10, he gets into, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Each of you, speaking to the church, each of you should use whatever gift you have, AKA God has put in your bucket specific things. How does that work? Well, when you were rescued by Jesus and your identity completely changed and you were placed into the family of God and the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you, the Holy Spirit showed up with gifts. And you were given gifts by the Holy Spirit. Now, you may be sitting here going, okay, what are those gifts? How do I know if I got them? Well, for starters, as a believer, everybody's got something, right? And there's a list of them that you can go through. And there's also, there's these assessments that have been set up that you can go through. And here's how it's going to work for us. If you are in a life group, you're already on track to figuring out what your gifts are. Because in April, life groups are going to go through this thing called Growth Track. And what Growth Track is 4 weeks to walk through and understand who we are as a church, but also who you are and how God has made you. You'll take an assessment, and coming out of that, there'll be multiple ways you can step in. And so you'll understand. Now, if you're here and you're going, I'm not in a life group, that's okay. Growth Track starts in May. You can jump in, you can sign up for Growth Track, you can jump in. And as part of it, it's figuring out, okay, God, how did you make me? And those things are okay, but I gotta be honest with you, I didn't figure out my gifting that way. I figured out my gifting by people who I trusted, who were walking alongside me, coming up and affirming what they were seeing in me. Things that I didn't even see in myself. That they would come up and they would affirm that hey, I see this in you. And here's what we need to catch, that in Jesus, you were created for purpose. Okay? Now, we're not talking like, purpose, oh, I got to figure out what I'm doing with my life. Okay, I can tell you today. I'll help you out. You ready? Your purpose, according to this passage, is to take the gift that God has given you, that God's put in your bucket, your one bucket life, and your purpose is to take that gift and use it for the kingdom. He says specifically, verse 10 again, each of you should use whatever gift you have received. God gave you a gift because he needs you to live it out on purpose. That is your purpose. I think about my dad. My dad was a bricklayer in England for 17 years. He went to school for it. He was a professional in the field, and his goal was he was going to retire and teach bricklaying. Now, if you think that's weird because we don't use a whole lot of brick around here, England, everything is brick, right? So makes sense. It's a trade. And so he's doing that 17 years. And he feels through that 17 years, he feels God stirring. Hey, it's time to make a change. You're going to become a missionary. He steps in to become a missionary. When I was 5 years old, we stepped in and went as a family. But for 35 years, my dad served in the same mission organization to when he retired, right? Moves to Prescott Valley, and my dad now has more Bible studies than I do, right? He's more, like, you ask him where he's going. I'm going to this one. I'm going to that one. He'll tell me all about him every time I see him, right? Why? Because here's the thing. No matter where you found my dad, whether he was working in construction or he was a full-time missionary or now he's retired, you'll find him doing the same thing. He feels like he's on the planet to make sure people understand this book. And he does it everywhere you meet. I meet people all the time. I'm at the store. They're like, hey, I met your dad. He was telling me some stuff I'd never heard from the Bible. Why don't you teach like him more? Okay. But here's the thing about my dad. My dad knows what God has gifted him to do. And everywhere he's been, void of what circumstance, he's doing it. Every one of you, each of you, that has received whatever gift, serve others. Serve others. Here's what's fascinating about serving, by the way. You heard it in some of the videos that were up there. But no matter what you do, let's say you sign up today, because you'll have an opportunity today, by the way, because we're action people, remember? That's how our faith gets real. We put it into action. So here's the thing. You have an opportunity today and you go, you know what? I think I'm going to sign up for this over here. And you may think at the time, I can do that because it's kind of behind the scenes. No one will see it. And so you sign up for coffee and you show up because you took this passage and you said, okay, each of you should use whatever gift you have received. I know I like to help others, so I'm just going to sign up to do this, right? To serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace. Okay, so as faithful stewards, I'm going to sign up for this thing. I'm going to do coffee on a Sunday morning. How do you steward coffee making? What does that even mean? Well, what's fascinating with stewarding, and specifically in this case, a gift of help in serving others, what's fascinating with that is when you get to the original language of what it means to steward something, okay? In the original language, if you were a steward, you were a manager over a household, okay? The thing is, it's not your household. You're just the manager. And so you have all of this resource at your fingertips to use. But the way that you use those resources is the master has told you his will and how he would like you to use those resources. Okay, so the master tells you, hey, this is how I want you to spend this money. This is how I want you to take care of the land. This is how many people I want you to hire. And as the manager, guess what you do? You go and implement the will of the master and you steward his resources well. So you get invited by Almighty God. He gives you a gift. And then he says, here's the thing. I want you to steward this well. I want you to manage it well. Well, what does he tell us? How do we use it to serve others as good stewards? How am I a good steward? I serve others. I meet the needs of other people. As faithful stewards of God's grace. And here's this picture's beautiful. So I sign up for coffee. I don't think much of it. I don't see how this makes a big difference. And what God says is in that moment when you steward your gifts of help and you show up and they make coffee for all of us, what you get to see in that person is grace in a different form. When you sit here and you see some of the people up here like Jala, who pours himself out week in, week out, and has more joy than most of us when it comes to dancing around, and maybe you could put him put him in his place. I don't know. Maybe he got some moves that we don't know about. But it's the same thing. You get to see grace in a different way. And when you get to come down here after service and pray with somebody, or maybe it's on a Thursday night at Elements, or maybe it's in our teacup ministry with our widows, and you got to be a part of that, or maybe yours is at men's breakfast, or maybe a women's Bible study, but you showed up and somebody there showed up to serve you, and all of a sudden, what, according to this, what you get is you get a picture of God's grace in them. Now, that's great and amazing and beautiful, but this says that you have a gift and you have the ability to go and manage well. Why? So that they can see God's grace in you. Oh, it's beautiful, church, because now we're talking about diversity. Now we're talking about the true form of diversity, that God took every single one of us as humans and put us together in a church family. And he goes, hey, guess what? When you show up and there's all these different people showing up to serve together, what you get is a picture of God that you couldn't get any other way. And you see the gospel in a fresh way. Why? Because you will serve differently than me. And it's beautiful. And that's why we need each other. And that's why it's important that each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory. Okay, it just got more better. Ready? Because when you show up to serve coffee, because you signed up, and you're using your gift of help, and people get to see grace, that's amazing. But you know what's even more staggering? That in that moment, because you are using the gift and stewarding it well for the needs of others, God and his glory are put on display, meaning that God gets put on display through you, and somebody might see God as he is for the first time because you showed up to make coffee at 7 a.m. on a Sunday morning when no one could see you. Oh, it's no longer making what? It's no longer making coffee. I'm taking out of my one bucket life and I'm sowing. You know what's fascinating? You ever see somebody, they sign up to serve, and they get to where they're serving, and there's a bunch of other people, and they start to like chat and hang out, and all of a sudden you start to go, man, did you come to like serve everybody else, or are you guys just having like a connection love fest going on with each other? And if you watch people that have served for a while on the same team, they're more excited. Oh, they love what they do. Don't get me wrong. They love to serve others, but they are so excited to see who? The people that they serve with, because they feel like family. Best way to connect is to step up and serve. Best way to connect and feel like this goes from large to small is step up and step in and serve. And the benefits that come, the reaping generously, you heard it from the church family. We didn't sit there and go, hey, here's your script. Could you help us out with this? We asked them a question, and what you got is what you got. They just rolled. And I'm sure if we ask people in here that you're serving in different ways, I'm positive that you'd start to go, yeah, I didn't expect this and this happened. And you got to put God Almighty on display. Wait. Catch the cycle. You ready? You can't save yourself. So Jesus goes, I'm going to show up and save you. Okay? Didn't deserve that. That's generous. Then he goes, hey, I'm going to completely change you from the inside out. That's generous. Then he goes, not only am I going to change you from the inside out, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit that will empower you to be able to do what I've put in front of you. Wait. On top of that, he gives you a specific gift that he goes, hey, use this for the world. Especially the family of God. You didn't do any of it. All you got to do is choose how you sow out of the bucket, so to speak. What are you going to do with your one bucket life? There's one last thing. Philippians chapter 2. You will never look more like Jesus than when you are serving another human being. You'll never look more like Jesus. And the whole goal of this thing, you guys, is that as we continue on in our journey with Jesus, we would be conformed to be like Jesus. Romans 8 talks about that. That we would be conformed to look like Jesus. In Jesus, you were created. You were created through serving to be like him. Listen to what he was like when he was serving us. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Verse 6. Who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus, fully God, chooses, because of us, to go, I'm not going to grasp at that and hold it for my advantage. I'm actually going to let it go because it's better for them. And then he steps in and in humility goes, I'm going to become like them. And then I'm going to serve them. Proof positive of this, the night that we're going to celebrate here in a moment, the meal of remembrance, if you like, communion. But when Jesus gets his friends in a room and the boys are all gathered up, and Jesus knows, I'm going to be arrested soon. And not only am I going to be arrested, but shortly after, I'm going to be put to death. And it's in that moment that he chooses to get up from that table and put a towel, a servant's towel around him, and get down and serve these young men that should have been serving him. Think about it. It's staggering that in this moment, when if there was ever a moment where it would have been right to maybe just sow a little bit, he dumps the entire bucket and he serves them. Why? That they may reap the benefit of life. And he tells them, I've given you a model. Go do likewise. Go do this. I don't know how you came in today, but this right here, and you can just, if you didn't get one on the way in, there's some at the back, but you can just hold it. You don't have to open it yet. We'll take it together. But I think sometimes just feeling the weight of what this is, having a physical weight in your hand, that points to something much, much greater. The reality that God himself would become human. That God himself, as a human, would take a towel in one of his most traumatic moments, if you like, and simply serve as a picture of what was to come. I think this morning, as we even begin to process, before we process, okay, God, where are you calling me to step in? God, what gifts have you given me that I need? I think just slowing down and recognizing that Jesus showed up and he died to change everything for me, that he first served me. And so as you hold the communion elements this morning, as you sit with them, just the posture this morning and the conversation with God is this, that God, thank you for serving. Thank you for doing what I couldn't do. Thank you for grace that showed up. God, thank you for stretching out your arms and taking my place. Thank you for stepping into an empty tomb. Or thank you for stepping into a tomb that you stepped out of and left empty. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for mercy. And just thank him this morning for how he served you. And then we'll come back together. These next moments of yours, we'll come back together and take it all together. On the night that Jesus would be betrayed by one of those friends, he took bread and he began to use bread to explain the sacrifice that was coming. That he would physically give up his body. That he would let them beat him, insult him, punish him for stuff he hadn't done, and eventually kill him. But he used a word. He said, it's given. It was willfully sown. His life was willfully sown, not only for them, but for us all these years later. And it's as if in that moment he's going, okay, humans, you don't remember enough. Like, we gotta have things that pull us back and help us remember. And so he took the bread, just ordinary bread, and he broke it. And he told them, when you do this in remembrance of me. And so he handed them the bread and he said, take, eat, my body given for you. He took a cup and he told them, I'm doing something new. Before you would have served out of obligation. But after this point, after I shed my blood and buy forgiveness, it's no longer out of obligation, but it's out of a complete change by grace that happens inside of you. And so he took the cup and he said, take, drink, do this in remembrance of me. God, we're so grateful this morning. First and foremost for you, thank you for being generous in nature. Thank you for moving towards us. But God, thank you for the gospel and everything you've given us. Thank you for the way that you have loved us, the way that you have proved it through the cross. Thank you, God, for not abandoning us, but for coming near. Thank you for changing us from the inside out. Thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the gifts that you have given to this family. God, may we, as your family, catch a heart to do what you have done for us, where we just take what you have given and we give it in turn to each other and to the world. And so, God, would you inspire us in these moments as we begin to sing and remind ourselves again of how good this gospel really is, how good this story is we live inside of. Would you remind us again of who you've made us to be? And may we sing praise to you as we celebrate your goodness. And it's in your name, everybody said. Amen.